Our missions conference today. I'd like to talk this morning about the shortness of life in light of the greatness of the task. Of course, what is the task? Mark 16 and verse 15 gives us an insight into the great task of life. When the Lord Jesus, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is an enormous task when you think of the fact that since this service started, over 9,000 people in the world have died. And since this service has started, 22,000 more people have been born in this world. Do you know that every day 151,600 people die in this world? And every year, 55.3 million people die. And that is compared to the fact that every day there are 360,000 people born. Every day. And every year there are 131.4 million births. Realize that today there is one missionary for every 880,000 tribal people. There's one missionary for every 179,000 Hindus. There is just one missionary for every 405 million Muslims. And there's only one missionary for every 260,000 Buddhists. Sorry, maybe read that again. There's just one missionary for every 80,000 tribal peoples. There's just one missionary for every 179,000 Hindu people. There's only one missionary for one of every 71,000 of unreligious people in the world. There's only one missionary for every 405,000 Muslims. One missionary, only one, for every 260,000 Buddhists in the world. The greatness of the task. One in 20 missionaries leave the field every year. One in 20 missionaries leave the field every year. There's 16,562 people groups in the world. 6,847 of these people groups are considered unreached people groups who have never heard the name of Jesus, or there's less than 2% of their population claim any kind of Christianity. Amazing opportunity that we have. There are 22 million international people that visit the USA every year. Of this, 630,000 of those international people are students who come from 220 countries in the world. 25% of those 220 countries prohibit Christian missionaries. 40% of the world's 220 heads of state have studied in the USA. Amazing opportunity. Amazingly great task that we have. Think of it. 55.3 million people will die this year. 55.3 million people will die this year alone. And 131 million people will be born this year. It's a lot of people. Isaiah chapter 40. Reminds us of some important realities in lightness, in light of the greatness of the task before us. Hopefully I'm quoting this correctly. I read the statistic that 30 billion people have died since the crucifixion of Christ, since the commission of Christ in which he told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. 30 billion people have died without ever hearing of Jesus Christ. 30 billion people have died without ever hearing of Jesus Christ. 30 billion people have died without Christians obeying the gospel. It's a lot of people, isn't it? Isaiah 40 reminds us of a very important reality considering this tremendous task that we have. It's a reality that we all need to think about, the shortness of life. This is the message to the earth from the Lord for the prophet. In verse 6, and he says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And the Lord said, all flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. We have a number of people in our church that mow grass. You know, sometimes they have to mow grass twice a week. What's the life of that blade of grass? What's the length of its life? A couple days. You mow that grass. Think of what the Bible says. All flesh is as grass. Every little blade of grass is like those 55 million people that are going to die And those we're thankful for those who mow the grass at church. The hour, an hour and a half or whatever, that they mow the lawn here, 6,360 people will have died. All flesh is as grass. You know, life is short. Life is short. The Bible says life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Life is very short. How many people died today that you never even knew were alive? How many millions of people have died? Billions of people have, 55 billion. Multiply that by how old you are. How many of those people did you know? Well, I'm almost, over 60. Going on. So let's say in my lifetime, wow, that's a lot of people that died. That's a lot of people that died. Just in my lifetime. I didn't know they existed. Life is short. Life is short. You know, life goes by so quickly. What is the Bible telling us? It goes by so quickly, there's only a small amount of time in which to serve God. There's only a small amount of time in which to serve God. And don't kid yourself. The Bible talks about the deception of youth. The deception of youth. The deception of youth is that life is long. The deception of youth is that life, we're always strong. It's long and we're strong. And we have a lot of time. No. I know it's kind of a gross illustration, but the more I think about it, the more it fits. I was in Menards one day and I was witnessing this lady. And she's taking care of her mom, and her mom was elderly, about 90 years old. And I says, yeah, life is short, isn't it? And she says, yeah, that's what my mom says. My mom says life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer to the end you get, the faster it goes. But, you know, it is kind of gross illustrating, but you know what? It's true. You don't think it's going to go fast? It's going to go faster and faster and faster and faster. Don't let your youth deceive you into thinking you have a lot of time. You know, there's only a certain amount of time to get saved. Most people think they have a lot of time. And you know, I think that the younger generation is convinced that they have so much time that they don't need to think about eternity. I don't know how many young people today there are that if you would talk to them about their soul, they would say, I never, never think about eternity. Never. And you know what? Their life is going to be like a blade of grass. And in a relative nature, it's going to be like that. And their eternity will be upon them. Just this week, I gave a tract to a young lady, a waitress at a restaurant. I think she's maybe 18 or 19, maybe less. Gave her a tract and started talking about spiritual things. And I says, you ever think about God? And she said, oh, I'm just way too busy to even think about that. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have any of your friends? Do you know any of your friends your age that have died? And she said, yeah. My wife says, well, we're sorry to hear that. But I said to her, well, if your friends were like you, they were too busy to think about eternity, where are they now? Where is she now? But you know, the same principle is that life is so short, we only have a small amount of time to serve God. We only have a small amount of time to serve God. Now, check that with your thinking. Check that. Check your thoughts. Be honest. How much do you think you have time to serve God? Most people think, oh, I got time somewhere. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Oh, I got plenty of time. Someday. Doesn't work that way. God's word says all flesh is as grass. Until we get to grips with what God says, we will lose the opportunity and the purpose of God for our life. Just as people will die and perish without Jesus because they think they have all the time in the world to sometime think about that, so will many Christians end their life having accomplished almost nothing for God because they have not believed God's message, all flesh is as grass. And I remind you, Ecclesiastes talks about the deception of youth that doubles the lie given to an adult that says, I got plenty of time. No. If you say you have plenty of time, you have already admitted that life is not short. Already been deceived. But notice what it says. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. You know, probably the thing that I enjoyed the most that I planted in my garden this year was about an 8-foot-long row of zinnias. And you know, it takes them a while to get up there. And you know, so delightful to see those blooms. I just love it. The frost comes, that's it. They're over. The Bible says, the flower fadeth. You know, the flower, the Bible says, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. You know, the Bible is talking about the shortness of the glory of life. The shortness of the glory of life. You know, some parts of life that are very glorious. You know, youth is glorious. You know, I watch these little kids, you know, around here and watch them, you know, they'll crawl on the floor, they'll get up, they'll get down. I mean, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like it's no effort. It's like, wow, they could do it all day. I couldn't do it. I just kind of put myself, that'd be an effort to get up like that. You know, get down there and then get up. And, it'd take me a lot of time to do that. But it's nothing for them. The glory of youth. The glory of youth. You know, unless you don't know this, the peak of life is about age 26. Unless you don't know that. The peak of life is about age 26. And until that point, there is a certain advancement. But that's the top. And in our culture, with all the sugar and all the chemicals and all the lazy lifestyles, I guarantee you it's not that high. After that, it's downhill. Downhill. You know what? The glory of life is short-lived. But when you really put it together, you know, the glory of life is somewhere in there, you know, between 16 or 18 and 26. A short window of time. The glory of life. I know it after that. Physically, it's downhill. I was thinking about this. We sing this song. Give of the best to your master. Give of the strength of your youth. You know what? Some of you, your strength of youth has already passed, and you didn't give the strength of your youth to God. Your best has already passed, and you would stand before God. And you could not sing, I've given my best to the master. You've given your best to yourself. You know, they say that the West spends for Christmas every year more for Christmas than all of the West, that the $12.2 trillion that the West makes every year, they spend more for Christmas than all the Christian professors spend for missions in a year. The best. The glory of the Lord. The glory of it fadeth. The glory of it fadeth. There is a limited ability to give our best to God. It only comes once. A limited ability to give our best to God. the flower thereof fadeth. Notice it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. We have the shortness of life and we have the shortness of the glory of life, but we have the lasting nature of the things of God. What a contrast. The lasting nature of the things of God. I was at the university and a couple guys came up and I said, hey, what you studying? They said, finances. And I said, hey, I got a verse for you. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The lasting value of eternal things. The word of our God shall stand forever. $55.3 million people going to spend, pass into eternity this year. That's a long time. Be too late for their soul. They may have spent all their life trying to gain some of this world's goods. Lasting value of the things of God. You know, here is a battle of life. What are we going to listen to? The passing nature of what the world says? Is what are we living for? Just think of these young people in Kenya. Afraid to be different. Afraid to be different. Afraid to tell other young people about Jesus. You know why? Eternity has not gripped their soul. Eternal things have not gripped their mind. You know the answer? The answer is found in Ephesians chapter 5. The shortness of life. In light of the greatness of the task. Ephesians chapter 5. Awake thou that sleepest, verse 14, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Bind up the time. Because the days are evil. Yes, we live in evil days. The Bible says, because the iniquity of men shall abound, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible tells us about Lot, and seeing and hearing all the unrighteous deeds of that wicked city of Sodom, he vexed his righteous soul. These are evil days. And these evil days have an effect on the hearts and the souls of Christian people. It makes them dull. It makes them unthinking. It makes them unwise. The Bible says, redeem the time. You know what that means? Buy up the time. Make your time count. Make your time count. count. This is how I think. This is what life's like. So, yet one day, he didn't talk to anybody about Jesus. How fast did that day go by? How fast did that day go by? Real fast, right? You know what that means? It means that you get 365 of those days very easily. Right? And have 365 days that you don't talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? It's easy to lose a whole year at a time. They just add up, and they just add up, and they just add up. You know, we don't like to think that way, do we? You know, the Bible says, let us number our, apply our hearts unto wisdom and number our days. You know, those days add up into years. And it might be that it's been years now that you've been in the habit of not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And those days will add up to years. And those years will add up to the whole of your life. And what will we have accomplished? Redeeming the time. Every day, we need to buy up the time. Every day. Every day, we need to buy up the time and think about, we need to do something for God every day. We need to do something that counts every day. Something that counts for eternity every day. Buy up our time. If we don't, it'll be gone. Redeeming the time. As we close, are you buying up the time? Are you letting it slip? You know, it's just like salvation. People who do not take time to think about God and their soul and their eternity, their life will go by in a flash. But the same thing for you and I. Our life can go by in a flash. And when it's all over, as the songwriter said, shall I be empty-handed? Shall I be empty-handed? Life is very short. It won't happen without a specific, willful, knowing, objective decision of how we are going to make our life count. We will not witness until we decide that we will witness. And how often we will witness. And we will not give to missions like we ought. Unless we decide that we're going to weigh what we give in light of eternity. I was just thinking about this. You know what? We will spend in a moment easily more in a moment than we will give a whole year to missions. We'll do it in a moment. And many times we do it many times in a year. We'll spend that amount of money. And if we think about giving that amount of money in missions, we whoa. Right? Redeeming the time. Because our life, our time is short. And after that, it's over. No more chance. Nothing can we do for eternity. It's over. Gone. Never, ever to be retrieved again. Let's pray. Lord, oh God, in your mercy, help us to get a grip on the shortness of life. Oh God, help us to get a grip on it. And Lord, help us to weigh our life in the balances. Help us to compare things in life. Help us to put it in perspective. Help us, Lord, to compare how much time we will spend doing some pleasure, watching a football game, going, doing this, doing that, and how little time we will spend reading your word or praying for missionaries. Help us, Lord, to be honest with how much we will gladly spend upon ourselves, and then with how much agony it will take us in a whole year to give even less than that to missions. And Lord, oh, help us to think about how much time we can spend talking to our friends or doing this or that, and then think of how little or how difficult it is even to spend 10 minutes a day praying for missionaries. Oh God, we pray for that precious soul today. Thank you that they brought them today, that somehow in your mercy, they're thinking about the things of God in such a way that they came today. Oh God, help them to think of the shortness of life. And they need to capture their life before it's all gone, to trust Christ and to make their life count for eternity. May it be so, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, you know, God is speaking to my heart about making my life count for eternity, making my life count for souls. And God is speaking to your heart today about redeeming the time because your life is short. And there needs to be a change in your life of how you use your time and what you use your time for and how you put eternity in perspective. And say, God is speaking to my heart today. I've lost grips of how quickly life is over. I've let it slide. But God is speaking to my heart today. And I'm not going to let my life slide anymore. I'm going to make some specific decisions today about what I'm going to do with my life, of what kind of witness I am going to be, and how much time I am going to give to spreading the gospel, to praying for missionaries, how much I'm going to make my life count for supporting our missionaries, and maybe the Lord is saying, give your life to spread the word. God is speaking to your heart today. Say, God has spoken to my heart. Pastor, pray for me. I need to make my life count. There's a perishing world. My life is short. I need to make the most of it for God. Say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to my heart today. There's some specific thing or things that God has spoken to my heart today that I won't get settled unless I decide. And by God's grace, I'm deciding right now. And I'm lifting up my hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm making that decision with the Lord. Okay? Praise the Lord. Number of hands. Amen. Others? Oh, it won't happen unless you decide. Thank God you got a decider. But if you won't decide, it'll be slipping away. God is speaking to your heart. Anyone else? Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord for that. Lord, Thank you for meeting with us today. May your word get a grip on our life. Thank you for decisions made. Lord, now I pray that the strength of the moving of the Spirit of your God, of you, Lord, in their life, would just be the beginning, and it would grip a hold of them to make real, lasting, life-changing decisions that will be for the rest of their lives. I pray in Jesus' name.